Okay, everybody, workday's over.
This is the best of the OG with Ovius and Giglio podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Brought to you by Capital Financial Advisory Group. Get your total retirement income plan by texting JOE to 21000. Enjoy the best of today's show. Here's Ovius and Giglio.
Pretty fun night for the Carolina Hurricanes last night in the win against the Tampa Bay Lightning. They bounced back from Monday's game where I think it's safe to say they stole a point given the way that the Lightning played against them. Wait. And they were lucky enough to be in that game.
Who'd they play Monday?
The Lightning.
Who'd they play yesterday?
The Lightning.
Who do they play tomorrow?
The Panthers.
So the Lightning.
And the Panthers. Do you have your song, Rand? You should probably have that queued up, ready to go.
Should I just have it ready?
You really
all the
should
time?
Have it on the quick starts,
but
man.
Is it, just that one?
Just that one, because I mean, at the rate that this season's going, that's all it is: Lightning and the Panthers.
I didn't want it to seem like very presumptuous of me.
We play the same guys and we're tired of seeing them, but who's next? And what's the answer? It was Lightning before the Panthers. Panthers.
Yes. Now we know.
Lightning before the Panthers. Panthers.
Again. So you got Nito Niederreiter, Jordan Staal, Steven Lorenz scoring second period goals to make it a 4-1 win over the Lightning last night. Carolina remains tied for first place in the Central Division with the Panthers. Hurricanes have played two fewer games. Well, again, last night was about the Canes looking invested, right? They certainly did do that, and they also did the thing that other teams would try to do to them, get under their skin. Did not affect the Canes last night, and there was no better sequence than Jordan Staal's goal, where what's-his-face, Gord, was all over him, trying to break his stick down, hitting him in the back. Staal, who was described by his teammates as a horse, looked like one. You could not move him. You could not bring him down, yeah. And then he deflected the goal in. It was amazing. And he flexed on him!
I understand there are certain people who occupy this studio before we do, mm-hmm. who are not referring to this as a playoff-like
Don't.
Sequence of games.
Do not.
But the most important thing the Hurricanes did yesterday was respond to the first game, to the Monday loss. Because even though they got a point, they were outplayed severely by the Lightning. And I think it was important, being the last meeting of the regular season between these two teams. Mm-hmm. And let's be clear, the way that the playoffs are set up this year, you play your division first before you advance out of the division. So the Hurricanes, if they are to advance to the Final Four, they're going to have to beat the Panthers and the Lightning. Okay? So, I mean, they can avoid one of them in the opening round if they finish first, but most likely they're going to have to beat both of those teams. And they needed to win this game in order just to mentally prove to themselves that it can be done, and particularly that they can take Tampa's fastball and respond to it. And I thought it was interesting, too, yesterday, Joe, that they started Alex Nedeljkovic. Tampa went back with their goalie, Vasilevskiy, but Rod Brindamore was like, you know what? I'm giving Nedeljkovic a look here. And I think that was important for, again, when the next time they see this team is going to be in the playoffs. And I also think Rod Brindamore needed to know what he had in Nedeljkovic in a big moment like this, because they haven't had that many big moments this season in terms of how are you going to respond, because they've just been on schedule the whole time. I mean, they've been a sunny day team most of the season. They've had, one three-game losing streak, and that's it. So you have to know how your team's going to respond when things go a little awry. And for them to, I know it's the regular season, but for them to get out of there and
I want you to repeat that. Say it. It was the regular season game yesterday. We don't want anybody to get too literal with
it. But I think it's important for the Canes to know, hey, you won four of those. We won four of those. Mm-hmm. We'll see you in a month.
I like the vibe. I've said this before. Whether they stumbled into this or not, the scheduling has created some really fun, intense back and forth between the Canes, the Lightning, and obviously the Panthers. Speaking of playoff-like atmospheres, we might actually get one once the Canes move, if they go deep enough into the playoffs. Playoffs don't start until mid-May. But we got news today from the governor of North Carolina, Roy Cooper. He actually tweeted this out about an hour or so ago. With increasing vaccinations and ongoing work to slow the spread of COVID, I anticipate we'll be able to lift all mandatory social distancing capacity and mass gathering restrictions by June 1. I plan to issue an executive order next week outlining safety restrictions for the month of May. Being able to make progress is good for North Carolina. Here's how we can help keep doing this. We will continue to distribute vaccines in the way that is fast and fair, and we will not let up. As of today, almost half of adults have had at least one shot. More than a third are fully vaccinated. For more vulnerable age groups like 65 and older, almost 77% have had at least one shot. More than 71% are fully vaccinated. That is great news. Obviously, you have to keep these things going. So I want to repeat that. According to the governor, if things continue on their trajectory, Giglio, by June 1, all mandatory social distancing capacity and mass gathering restrictions will be lifted by June 1. That's awesome. What does that mean for the Carolina Hurricanes? Right now, they're at about 4,500 at PNC Arena, even though the restrictions in place right now are at 50%. The reason why it's at 4,500 and not closer to 10,000 right now is because North Carolina still has those social distancing rules in place. You have to be 6 feet apart. So if this is lifted, you'll get more butts in seats. Now, you won't get a full building because the NHL has their own rules in place for home attendance. There's a minimum 3 feet of distancing that is required. So you're probably looking at around 10 to 11,000 inside PNC Arena if things continue to go in their trajectory, as long as the NHL continues to have their social distancing protocols in place, which is, again, about 3 feet. Mask mandates will clearly still be in place for indoors, I'm guessing, at this point in time. Regardless, that's good news. And I don't think I'm speaking out of turn when I say having around 10,000, 11,000 people in the building makes a hell of a lot more difference than what we currently have going on right now. I know not everybody's been to a game yet. Jonathan Rand apparently has a secret,
all the tickets.
He has like a secret stash of tickets he hasn't told us about, so he's gone to like five or six games already.
And an ATM machine down the hallway that I don't know about.
Seriously, yeah. Do you have a money tree?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Okay.
That's how I can afford my fancy car.
Actually, I know what it is.
That's exactly what it is.
He keeps all of his cash in his car. It's just buried under the trash, so nobody would think to go through it.
No one would think.
Who would think to go through his car with all that?
That right. McChicken wrapper? It's got a 20 under there.
The poor dart.
Yeah, that dart, man. It's been getting roasted this week.
It has.
So, I mean,
if I give you a ride to trivia tonight.
I went to my first game on Saturday, and while it was nice to be back in the building, it still was lacking that punch that's needed to make going to a home sporting event a lot of fun. You get closer to around 10,000, 11,000 people, then it starts to get a hell of a lot more fun. So let's see if we keep things going in the right direction, and by June 1, all these restrictions will be in place. I will say this, though, if that's the case, and we got like a full summer, man, how thirsty is it going to be this summer, man? Right? It is going to be... Like, I know WRAL right around now during the spring, we've got our pollen index and stuff like that. We got our heat index. I think they're going to have to break out a different kind of heat index. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. If you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Anyway, good luck to all the single people out there. It's been a very busy offseason for college basketball. Everybody's freaked out about the transfer portal. It's made life difficult on fans. Hell, it's made life difficult on coaches. I don't diminish that. But more importantly, Giglio, it's made life difficult for us because...
How are we supposed to keep up?
I don't know who's going to be good next year. Who's coming? Who's going? Who's this guy? I got no idea. I'm supposed to believe that a transfer from Radford was one of the best players in the ACC last year? How was I supposed to know that? Right? So we decided that it was time to play a game, put our listeners' knowledge of ACC transfers to the test. Let's play, Rand.
Let's go out to the
transfer portal.
Let's go out to the
transfer portal.
Let's go out to the
transfer portal.
And have ourselves
a new player.
So this is how it's going to work. 8605FAN, 8605326. We will give you a player's name. You will tell us, did they transfer? Did they stay? Or did they go pro? Simple enough, right? It's a multiple choice question. We got Jeremy and Clayton. Jeremy, what's up, man?
What's going on, guys?
Who are you a fan of, Jeremy?
Oh, man, I'm a big Duke fan, bro.
Ooh. All right. So we're going to...
Here's like 20 people league.
I was going to say, you're used to this, man, every year. You're probably a pro at this by now. So this is how it's going to work. We're going to give you three player names, and then you're going to tell us if they transferred, if they stayed at Duke, possibly, or if they went pro. If you go three for three, we go to the big Arctic Tumblr question. You have to tell us where they transferred to. And if you get that right, if you get that right, you'll get the Arctic Tumblr with the fan logo on it. Got it?
Right on, man. Let's try.
All right. Player number one, Jillio.
Start with a layup. Jordan Goldwire.
Oh, man.
Did he transfer? Is he staying or is he going pro?
He transferred.
All Give right. him the bell, Ryan.
Give him the bell. One for one. All right, number two, Matthew Hurt.
He's in the NBA.
Very good. Got that one right.
Was trying to be.
Yeah, he's going to try.
All right, let's make this a little bit harder. Olivier Saar.
He's a transfer.
Jeremy!
Jeremy.
He's going pro.
Got it.
He did transfer last year.
That's right.
So half of a point there.
Half a point, but you don't get half a point. Hey, man, this was not going to be easy. Jeremy, appreciate you listening. Appreciate you playing. Maybe next time.
Hey, thanks, man.
All right. We got Chris in Henderson. Chris, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Who are you a fan of, Chris?
I'm a Carolina fan.
All right. Big Carolina fan. So you're not used to transfers in Chapel Hill.
Not as much so, but it's. I think it's going to be part of the sports landscape.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. All right, so we're going to throw out a name. You're going to tell us if that player transferred, decided to go pro, or is actually staying on the roster. All right, number one, DJ Stewart.
He went pro.
Very good. Give him the ding. Next.
Yeah, you guys have to tell me. I have no idea. Rand has no clue. These are right.
Rand has no idea.
I'm just looking at you.
All right. Braxton Beverly.
He transferred.
Very good.
I know that one.
All right. Number three. See if you can go three for three and go to the Arctic Tumblr bonus round. Chris Likes, Brownlow's favorite player.
Chris Likes also transferred.
Very good, Chris. Big time. All right. It's time for the Arctic Tumblr bonus. This player did transfer, but you have to tell us where he transferred to. Do you think you could do this, Chris?
We'll see.
Do we like Chris?
I mean,
How much do we like Chris?
I mean, I don't know.
Do you want Chris to win, or do you just want me to make this a no?
No. I'm going to throw out the name. Y'all ready?
Oh, you're in charge of the name? He won't even trust me.
I don't trust you. All right, Chris, tell me where Kadari Richmond transferred to.
Oh, is that the guy from Syracuse?
It is.
Lord, y'all don't like me.
Now we have to have the Shazam clock here. You got to beat Shazam here. We can't let him Google this.
Kentucky.
No.
Good guess.
Wrong, good guess, sir. Though. Good guess. Wrong. He transferred to Seton Hall.
You know what? I was thinking Seton Hall for a state.
Blue and white.
Yeah, that's right. Look, man, that was a good try. Impressive on the three for three, but that yes. we're not just going to hand out an Arctic Tumblr. I mean, come on now. Chris, appreciate you listening, man.
Thanks.
All right, take it easy.
We've done it before.
This is true.
This is softy over here.
I have been told to stop doing that, so we're going to stop doing that.
Did you get a text during the break from Ewald?
No. Our promotions director, I don't even think he's listening right now. He's probably in a meeting, which is a good thing. Ooh. We got Wes Durham, ACC Network, hanging out with us now. Wes, what's up, man?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're good. You want to play the game? You want to play a game with us?
Yeah, because we used to play this game when Barnhart and I did the show in Atlanta.
Okay.
We used to play this show called this game called Dead, Alive, or Member of the Harris Poll at the end of the college football season. And it was awesome.
For those who don't remember, the Harris Interactive Poll is what helped put the BCS together.
Put it to bed, too.
Well, yeah, there was that, too. Yeah,
when they found out who was voting in it, some guy retired. I'll never forget. We asked, I can't remember the exact name. Basically, we asked, dead, alive, or member of the Harris poll. And we said somebody who was clearly alive and did not vote in the Harris poll. And the first person got on the air and said they were dead.
Oh, boy.
And then they said they were a member of the Harris poll. And Barnhart started laughing, and that was the end of the segment. So, anyway,
you couldn't top that. All right, so, right. Rand, fire it up. Let's play the game.
Let's go.
Let's go out to the
transfer portal.
Let's go out to the
transfer portal.
Let's go out to the
transfer portal.
And have ourselves
a new player.
All right, so with the AC.
By the way, Rand gets a pay raise today. That plus the acapella, excellent.
He's been on fire this week.
Thanks, Wes.
He's been on fire.
So, all right. So here's how this works.
Right,
Wes.
There behind Gilio's cough game, but go ahead. That was funny, Gilio. Come on, bro.
Let's go.
He doesn't have his mic on because he's worried he's going to cough.
That's well said. Makes two of us. Go ahead.
So here's how it works. We've got a player. You're going to tell us if they transferred, if they are staying, or if they are going pro. If you can go 3 for 3, you'll go for the Arctic Tumbler fan.
Be the only way I'll get
round.
One. Be the only way.
This is like UEFA Champions League. You win it fair and square, Wes.
I got some thoughts on that, too. Let's go.
All right. Gilio, got a name for Wes?
I was counting on you slow walking him, and then I was going to hit him with one here. But we can start him out with a hard one.
All right.
Nathaniel Jack.
Oh, Nathaniel Jack is in the portal.
Oh, no. We're not going to get him.
I think we're going to get him.
Nathaniel Jack will become the second Leonard Hamilton player to transfer, by the way, in the last 5 years if he goes through with it.
All right.
C.J. Walker to Ohio State, the other one, by the way.
But we're in trouble.
Winston Tabbs.
Oh, Winston Tabbs has transferred and landed in Pitt County.
Damn it.
Everybody's leaving Boston College.
Wow.
So.
Yeah, that's a valid point.
Yeah, be careful.
That's a valid point.
I don't know. It's a race in Winston-Salem, so let's go. Neck and neck in the portal. All right, go ahead.
All right, Julia.
Well, fine. We'll go there. Jacoby Neath.
Oh, Jacoby Neath is transferred, and unbelievably, no offense, Jacoby, ended up at Wisconsin.
Damn.
All right.
Do you want right. to? All right, this is for the Arctic Tumbler. This is for the bonus. You have to tell
him. All right, I got him. I've got him.
Okay, all right.
You got him? No
way. I've got him.
All right.
Oh, let's go. You going to throw Sterling Manley at me or something?
No. Okay. For the win now, you have to name where they're transferring to.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
John Newman.
Oh, John Newman left Clemson into the portal. Went to UNCG.
Oh, no, he knows.
The world – wait, I'm not done.
I know.
World
you know.
Famous, never enrolled, and now going to Cincinnati.
Oh, no. I thought we had him.
Man.
Congratulations to Wes Durham. You got yourself an Arctic Tumbler, Wes. We will send you one.
No, you won't.
No, we will. We absolutely – you earned the Arctic Tumbler with the fan logo on it. We're going to send you one. I better see it on the shelf on the next ACC Network show.
Shelf? I'll be drinking it.
Excellent.
Yes. You're an
Excellent.
Affiliate, for heaven's sakes. You're carrying the Packer and Durham replay over there on 620 The Buzz.
This is true. I was actually catching it on Buzz Sports Radio earlier today.
Bless your.
It's Wes Durham joining us from the ACC Network. All right. I mentioned the Super League, the European Super League that has disintegrated before our eyes. And I understand why. There was enough pushback, not just from fans, but its own players, their own coaches, and even political leaders were like, no, like this ain't happening.
By the way, did you guys see the John Henry hostage video?
I saw that today.
That was awesome, by the way.
So because we try to tie these things back to American sports, the immediate thought that people had was related to college sports. Like, well, what would a Super League in college look like? And what was funny is that when we were talking about this on Monday, Gilio and I were hard-pressed to come up with 16 college football programs that would actually make sense for a Super League.
Right, but I think you're going about it the wrong way.
Okay.
Not in theory, I mean, because that's the obvious way to do it, because that's what happening. That was what was happening in Europe.
Yes.
Here's the way I would approach it. Think about each of those teams or clubs, as it is in soccer, being a conference. Okay, so now you're going to break away. You follow me on this?
Okay.
So now you got to have the ACC, the SEC, the Big 12, the Pac-12, the Big 10, and whoever else go off and form their own. Now you have the teams in the conferences. But remember, and you know, we're getting ready to see it happen here if we're not careful. We're getting ready to see it happen administratively before we ever see it happen on the field. Think about the television money. Think about the business side of it. And that's one of the things, you know, and you guys know I was traveling yesterday. I was in North Carolina. I was talking to some different people. And I thought you can look at what's going on with the Super League and compare it to college sports, but I think you're wrong to pick the teams for football when realistically you could be picking the conferences. Because that's ultimately, if there is a break from the NCAA, it's going to be with conferences. It's not going to be with just, oh, pick out 25 or 30 teams and hope it works out, right? It's going to be.
So you're talking about a consolidation of the Power Five.
Absolutely.
Okay.
No question. And I think that's the only, and Gilio may have a different opinion on this. I'm not sure it can work any other way, guys. I don't think that the financials on it, you can't just take a handful of schools and say, okay, let's hope this works out. Because, look, it's already going to be hard enough for certain schools to come back from the pandemic. I think you have to be a realist and say, if you're going to go forward with this, it's going to be in kind of a conference movement as opposed to individual schools. The first thing I thought of was, sure, like everybody else, well, let's pick, you know, two dozen teams that you ultimately think could be in the, quote, Super Football League. Realistically, though, I think it's conferences that make that move.
Wes Durham, ACC Network, joining us here on the OG. I was told, Wes, the pandemic did not affect these ACC teams, Virginia Tech and NC State in particular, as deeply as they thought it would. I saw Virginia Tech's Whit Babcock saying he wanted to increase his budget from $100 million to $125 million. Where's all this money coming from? I thought they were losing money. NC State claimed they were going to lose $25 million. Now they're only going to lose $3 million? At some point, the math has to catch up, no?
Right. It's like the taxes on the stimulus check. I mean, at some point, you're going to have to pay back. And, you know, where the numbers for the particular year may not have been as drastic as some institutions thought, I can tell you in talking to others it was.
Right.
I mean, you know, this was real for everybody. No questions asked. And I think that, you know, just the way you do the numbers right now, like Whit Babcock with his campaign being launched to raise $400 million, well, you know, we did this, but we're still trying to raise $400 million. I would suspect that some of that $400 million for facilities and other things is also going to go to offset the scholarship loss and the financials involved there, too. No questions.
Wes Durham, ACC Network, joining us here on the OG alongside Joe Giglio. I'm Joe Ovias. Well, and I guess, you know, those budget shortfalls kind of tie back to how things would work on a Super League, or how do you shake down more money, right?
Right.
So, because that would be, because there's another implication here about football only. You almost get to a point where you wonder, all right, where's the line of demarcation from the football programs becoming separate, even from their own athletic departments?
I think that's a really good question, and I think it's one that is different at every school. Just like the NIL and everything else is going to be, if we don't hurry, potentially different in every state, and the timelines are going to be different in every state, mm-hmm. right? I think the relationship between institutions and athletics, and Joe's had a beat, and I've worked on campuses, those relationships have always been tricky, and they've been varied, right, Giglio? I mean, I can speak at Georgia Tech. The relationship between the Hill, quote, of the president's office and the athletic association, it's been different at a lot of different times in just the 18 years I worked there. I'd say it's that way at every campus, depending on the administration and who's influential to that administration, Joe. And so I would expect any kind of major move in college sports, football or otherwise, it's going to get tricky. It's going to get tricky because it kind of goes against the winds of what, you know, hypothetically the faculty senate may want, or the, you know, chair of the largest funded department on campus, you know, especially when it comes to the financials. You know, remember, one of the reasons that college football might have taken so long to go in a different direction and become modernized was the fact that there were so many folks academically who just didn't see the real benefit of athletics on a college campus to start with back in, you know, the early 1900s.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, in some ways, history is going to repeat itself if we ever try to take this thing next level, and we're still talking about name, image, and likeness, and we're talking about, you know, cost of attendance and whatever else we find ourselves getting into here in the next, good heavens, 10, 20 years, I guess.
Wes Durham, ACC Network, joining us here on the OG. That's Joe Ovias. I'm Joe Giglio. Turning our attention to the draft, Wes.
Mm.
Are we going to do the thing on the second day when Clemson's only had three players taken or two players taken? Are we going to do the thing where we go, huh, Maybe Clemson wasn't all that great last year.
Well, some people may do it. I mean,
because we like to overreact that way. Like right now, I see Virginia Tech and Miami having two first round picks. I don't think Travis Etienne's going to go in the first round. Do you?
I think it's a possibility.
Possible.
I think there's more of a possibility Javonte Williams goes ahead of Travis Etienne.
Right. But what I'm getting at is it's likely, in my opinion anyway, that Clemson only has one first round pick. Oh my gosh, the number one overall pick. Only the number one overall pick.
Sure.
And I think there's going to be an overreaction just when you look at it, and Alabama's got five or six guys and Ohio State's got their usual five or six guys, and you're gonna look at Clemson's list after day two and go, huh. Maybe they weren't all that great last year.
Well, I mean, you have to think of, you know, there were times where you can look at Clemson and say Trevor Lawrence was really, really good. ETN was really, really good. And behind that, it was a collection of guys who had made an impact in their program. Also remember, too, that, you know, they're going to have a haul here in 2 years for sure. Because all these guys that were freshmen this past year, when they become juniors, and if they're early exits, Brzee being one, I think he's a fairly attractive candidate at the next level, you know, depending on how his clock is going to work. I mean, Clemson's program is steady. But, you know, Roddy Jones has pointed this out, and I can't remember the specifics on it. They haven't had a first-team All-ACC defensive back in 3 years? Is that right? Since the national championship?
Oh,
so,
I mean, Kayvon Wallace was robbed, if that's the case, but I believe you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not specific on it, but, you know, the talent level, the team continuity and performance level has superseded the individual stuff is what I'm getting at, okay?
Sure.
And I think you've got to keep that in mind with Clemson. You know, they've had years where they've had, obviously, draft picks. The Christian Wilkins, Cleveland Furl, you know, that group, right? I mean, they dominated the first round. How many did they have that year in the first round? Three? Four? You know, I think that you're going to get Trevor Lawrence in the first round. I think there's a chance Travis Etienne will be in the first round. Second round, I don't know. Amari Rodgers will go at some point, I think. Maybe the second night, maybe early on Saturday. But, look, it's just kind of the way it flows sometimes. I don't think we – first of all, we have worn the draft out. God bless
us. Yes, we have.
Yeah, no, we have. I think we've kind of exhausted all draft conversation, which actually gets me to the more interesting tidbit from Dabo Swinney, the head coach at Clemson, who was on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin this morning on ESPN Radio, which you can listen to here on 99.9 The Fan. And they talked about Trevor Lawrence. And, yeah, sure, fine, whatever. The part that I was interested was where he was asked a question about NFL offers. Right? I mean, Dabo's getting paid handsomely at Clemson. We just saw Urban Meyer take this job in Jacksonville. He's going to be Trevor's next head coach when he goes pro. And I thought it was interesting to hear Dabo's response to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin on the topic of offers from the NFL. Here's the clip.
I've said many times over the years, you never say never to anything, but I love what I do. I love where I am, and I didn't have any conversations with either of those teams. I've had opportunities with other teams over the past few years, you know, real opportunities, but it's just not been, you know, the right thing for me. And, you know, I just go by what the good Lord calls me to do. And if that's something that comes down the road, you know, you cross that bridge when it is. But I just, you know, I love where I am. I love what I do. I love being, you know, in Clemson. I love my community here. I love these players. You know, I've been here a long time. I'm getting ready to start my 19th season here at Clemson, my 13th as the head coach. And, man, it's just been an awesome, awesome journey. But, you know, as I've said many times, when I get asked the question, I just say never say never, because who knows, you know, what's going to come down the road. And I think you always have to process those things in real time.
That was Dabo Swinney, head coach at Clemson, on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. You can listen to that on 99.9 The Fan weekday mornings. Here, we'll close on this, Wes, and this is my curiosity.
Okay.
If this were any other coach, it would be a top headline today. Never say never. I mean, he didn't close the door on that aspect. If this were Urban Meyer when he was at Ohio State, it would be nonstop coverage. If this were Nick Saban, a return to the NFL for Nick Saban, we'd probably be talking about this today. I mean, I consume a lot of national conversation, and this has not generated anything today, and no, I'm surprised by that.
No, I'm not, because I think we've gotten to a point where hopefully people realize when he tells you, he's telling you the truth. Mm-hmm. We get Dabo and no bluff all the time,
yeah. Right?
I mean, he's not bluffing. This is who he is. People think it's corny. Some think it's quirky, the whole bit, right? But, I mean, Jillio, you and I have sat in those rooms how many times with him, and he's coming at you straight up, right? I mean, he's not pulling punches. That's the thing about the guy. Has he had calls? Absolutely. I don't think he wants to coach in the NFL. I don't think he wants to coach Alabama. How about that for today's hot take?
Ooh, yes.
I mean, but seriously, why would he need to move at this point? He's got exactly what he needs. He's got a world-class football program, an institution that's completely aligned with his world-class football program.
Yeah, that's true.
Why does he need to go someplace in the National Football League and deal with an entirely different set of dynamics to prove he can get it done?
Yeah.
I'm just not sure he does.
West Durham, the winner of transfer.
Yeah. Thought I had him.
Staying home. We're going pro.
Newman.
He got us with Newman.
I thought you were going to go with Kamari Williams.
I was actually thinking about where.
Require me knowing who Kamari Williams is.
Okay, see, Kamari Williams, Walt Williams' son,
yeah,
from Boston College, is the only BC player in the portal who hasn't announced where he's going, probably because he doesn't have a place to go.
Oh, I guess that's a problem. I was going to actually hit you where CJ Felder was going.
CJ Felder's going to Florida, and he's going to be a monster.
Look at
a good
you.
Player.
He is a good player. Good for you. Good for you. So all right, Wes, we'll talk.
Be a monster at Florida.
We'll actually talk about the draft next week, given that the draft is happening next
really?
Week.
Really? Are we sure we're going to talk about it next week? Or y'all want to wait till the week after we can talk about it again?
All right, man. We'll talk to you later.
Oh, be well, guys. Take care.
Joining us on the Heister Automotive Group Hotline is the head coach of NC Courage. They lost yesterday in the Challenge Cup to Gotham FC 4-3. Pretty high scoring affair there, Coach. How are you?
Yeah, a little bit too high scoring for me.
I would imagine.
Yeah, we didn't defend too well, to be perfectly honest with you. But still a work in progress. Obviously, just coming out of preseason, so we kind of used the cup games as more of a extra preseason because obviously we couldn't play college teams this year, which is normal 6-7 games. So we didn't have any games preseason. So we're a little bit rusty. Especially on the organizational side, I think, as a group. So a little bit of time, I think maybe 2 or 3 weeks before we start getting ourselves together. And we won the first one 3-2, and we weren't great in that one either. So we still got a lot of work to do to get back to the heights of the last couple of years, but we'll keep at it for sure.
It's always a process. And, yeah, the pandemic has definitely changed the overall way in which you prepare for seasons. Paul Riley, head coach, North Carolina Courage, joining us here on the OG alongside Joe Giglio. I'm Joe Ovias. I wanted to talk to you today because I believe, you, if you're not officially, I'm going to make you officially, the biggest Liverpool supporter here in the Triangle. I don't think anybody has a claim on you like that, right?
Well, I mean, my dogs have all been named after, Liverpool managers and players. And I built the Shankly Gate at my home in New York at one point. Replica is the first thing I did. My wife was like, what on earth are you doing? You know, so, yeah, I mean... I'm a huge Liverpool fan, obviously season ticket holder too, so I go back quite a bit too in the off-season as best I can. But I am officially, yes, one of the top Liverpool supporters in the area, I would think.
Easily. So I was curious your thoughts on the European Super League. Not something that is necessarily a new idea, but the fact that they tried to announce it on Sunday and then the backlash that is seeing the disintegration. So just curious as to how you processed the last couple of days as a Liverpool supporter.
Well, it's been, I've never seen anything like it, to be honest, in the last 48 hours or last 72 hours, because I think the fans straight away realize that this is a major issue. I think there's two sides to it, and I think one of the sides doesn't get enough attention. So for me, I think it was a power play all along, and that's my view of it. I think the clubs wanted to play UEFA. They always want to stay in the Champions League, but I think they forced their hand, and the only way to do it was do something like this, force the hand of UEFA, to come up with more money for the teams, to come up with a better situation for the teams. I mean, for a Liverpool fan, you know, we went in the Champions League for a few years, and I look at who's in the Champions League, and you got the champions of Iceland in the Champions League and the champions of Norway, and the fifth best team in England can't get in, but they're one of the world's greatest teams, you know, with a great fan base. So I see what Liverpool are getting at, and Manchester United and these other clubs that don't make the Champions League. But I think doing it in secrecy was definitely the wrong way to do it. I think they should have been up above board with it all. And now, obviously, when the SHIT hit the fan, then obviously then you know, all the fans took over. And I think you can see the fan power and what has happened with all the teams deciding not to do it now. And I think it's a good decision not to do it, but I certainly think it woke UEFA up. And I think they'll come out with a better format for the Champions League and more money for the clubs. I mean, this, you know, the league was going to give them $2.4 billion each club. And the Champions League, you probably make 120 to 140 if you go all the way. So a million, you know. So the big difference in payoff. And I think the big clubs were saying, hey, UEFA, you need to put your hand in your pocket, pay us more for what we do and what the fans do and the you know, structure of all these stadiums. I mean, they've built unbelievable stadiums, Tottenham and Arsenal, and Liverpool have revamped their stadiums. So, but it was done the wrong way. I think everybody would have to say it's done the wrong way. It looked greedy. It looked sneaky. And I think the fans came down hard. Oof, my family came down hard. I know that. I was getting text messages at 2 a.m. in the morning. So they were not happy at all. And they wanted to get my perspective on it. And I gave them the other perspective, you know, of the money side and, you know, on the club, but being involved in a club and what it means to those clubs. And sometimes, you know, you need to look at that as a fan. They just look at, oh, we want to play Arsenal or we just want to play Manchester United. But, you know, when you're involved in a club, I think you look at it a little bit differently. So, yeah, but I'm glad we are where we are at this point, and I hope UEFA make the next strides and have our own Super League within UEFA, you know, which I think would be great. There's no reason not to do it. I mean, it's funny, when the Champions League started, they said it was the champions of every country. Mm-hmm. But you can't have the champions of Iceland, the champions of Hungary, and the champions of Bulgaria playing against the champions of England, and then the other teams who are much better, second, third, fourth, not in the tournament, you know. So they came up with this new structure where the top four would go, but I think the top six in England should go. And I don't know how they figure that out, but I think you can't have top clubs not in it. And you want competition for it, too. I think that was the big thing for me about the negative for the Super League was there was no competition. Right. So those 12, 15 clubs would always be in it, and then there'd be five editions every year. And that's not the way to do something. That's not the competitive way, the way we do things. But I would like to play Real Madrid a little bit more. I would like to play Juventus a little bit more. Mm-hmm. I would like to play Inter Milan, AC Milan, you know, these type of big clubs throughout Europe, because the European games at Anfield are an incredible atmosphere and incredible dates. So I just hope we can play more of those type games, you know. We'll see how it plays out.
Paul Rowley, head coach of the North Carolina Courage, joining us here on the OG. If you can't figure it out, he's not from our country. He's a big Liverpool fan. And the Super League news, it came and it went. I'm curious, though, Paul, how long did it take you to figure out that there were the American owners were behind this money grab?
That was about, I think, 16 minutes
okay.
for me to figure it out. As soon as I saw the teams involved,
right.
I was like, oh, boy, Manchester United, Arsenal, Liverpool. I said, oh, boy. And then they said, you know, the Liverpool guy was Henry was going to be the chairman of the whole thing. I'm like, oh, boy.
Right.
I have a feeling that it was Liverpool at the helm, to be honest with you, pushing this. And, you know, the business people, obviously, they've done a good job with our club. They've made us more profitable worldwide. You know, they bought us, I think, for $800,000, and we're worth $2.3 billion or something like that now. So they've done an awfully good job in terms of putting the club financially on much steady, stable ground than they were on. But, you know, you can't do stuff like this behind closed doors. And if the coach doesn't know and the players don't know,
yeah.
it's announced, I think that's pretty crazy, I've got to be honest with you. And nobody knew. I mean, nobody knew. So I think, but he said his apologies, and hopefully he'll be accepted by the fans. It's a tough fan group. Liverpool and all the clubs, because they love the team so much, you know. We love our club, and it's everything to the club, you know. You whatever money you have, you spend on going to watch them play. I mean, that's what you do, and that's the reality of owning a pro club and supporting a pro club in Liverpool.
Paul Rowley, head coach, North Carolina Courage, joining us here on the OG alongside Joe Giglio. I'm Joe Ovias. We'll close on this. Look, we're American sports fans. American sports fans are used to closed systems. The NFL and their playoffs, we're used to that sort of thing, the NBA and whatnot. And to me, when I first heard the news, I'm like, oh, this makes sense. It's nothing but the best teams, you know, playing each other. That's something that as an American sports fan completely understands. So for somebody like me, what's the best way to describe why this resonated the way that it did in those home countries, to the point where you've got people like Boris Johnson saying, no. You've got, as you said, players and coaches saying, no freaking way. There's no way I can support this. Why the
backlash?
You got
the carpool karaoke guy losing
yeah.
his mind, too.
Yeah, James Corden. No, James Corden took up 9 minutes of a monologue to berate this. So why this outpouring?
Well, I think it's down to competition. the only way you play sports is for competition. I mean, that's why I coach. It's not just about the winnings, the competition and what it brings to the fans and what it brings to the players and what it brings to coaches and stuff. And when you take away the competitive element, you take away everything. I like relegation. I like promotion. I hope one day we'll have it here with MLS and even NFL and everything else. I think they need to have relegation promotion. There needs to be something. If you don't have a good team and you don't do well, there needs to be some result from it. And we don't have it in this country, and I'd love to see it in this country. But I think that's what it is. It's just about competition and competitiveness and the challenge of being in a competition. That, you know, so if you fail and you don't do well, you stay in it. And that's what the Super League was. These 12 clubs were just going to stay in it while everybody else had to get in and out of it. And that's not the way it should be done. It should be done in a competitive atmosphere and knockout stages, which obviously created an amazing thing. I went to Liverpool, Barcelona when we beat them 4-0 after losing 3-0. Jumped on a plane in Chicago after our game. Me and Scott, my assistant, went to the game and we won 4-0. Never in my life did I think we could win that game 4-0, but we beat Barcelona 4-0. And it was the greatest night of my life.
Goal action
literally,
there, Joe.
Yeah, literally the greatest night of my life. And that competitive element, I mean, we only got on that flight because we just thought, maybe. Rams, if they did win 4-0 and we didn't show up, we would kick ourselves in the rear end. It was the greatest night I've ever had. And I sang till 4 in the morning with a bunch of 28-year-olds, and it was probably the greatest night I'll ever remember, you know. And Scott will never forget it. So, yeah. And then we got back to practice the next day without anyone knowing we even left. So, hey, good times.
You know, one of these days you're going to have to bring me and Joe along. That'll be a lot of fun. Paul Riley, yeah, NC Courage coach, you will be back in action against Racing Louisville FC on Monday, April 26th. Good luck in that match. We'll talk to you later.
Cheers. Thanks, guys. All the best. Good to hear from
you. Yeah. It's time for a rant to
acapella the news.
Speaking of the Super League that wasn't so super, we had to sing about it today, and who better to help us sing than some background singers and Rick James?
All right.
Wait, is this Can't Touch This? No, that's different.
It was a very bad idea.
Jeez.
The kind you don't take to the public. How could you not have seen the backlash? The fans would never let this fly. It was all about the money and reserving you a spot. But after all of the outcry, look what all of your greed bought. The plan was pretty dumb now.
To have a Super League,
tried to get away with it somehow.
Without all the critiques,
your scheming wasn't fair now.
That stupid Super League,
the public wouldn't allow.
Your precious Super League,
you said. The league's all right, the league's all right with us. Yeah.
Super League, baby.
Wow. That's pretty good, actually.
You know.
You missed one opportunity.
That's fair.
You said it. Was it Super Freak or Can't Touch This? You got to put the remix in there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You could have had an MC. You could have had an MC. You have a cough button now.
I know.
You've been listening to the Best of the OG with Ovius and Giglio podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Brought to you by Capital Financial Advisory Group. Get your total retirement income plan by texting JOE to 21000. Don't forget, this podcast drops every weekday at 6 p.m., and you can find it at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL Sports Fan app, or you can subscribe for free at the iTunes and Google Play stores.